Yeah, you know me real good. Real good. And I'm sitting this week with Kazrakan.
Greetings from the Lord Dragon.
Darth Blasphemous, hail to the dark side.
I almost wanted to call you Monica for some reason.
Really?
We're mostly
really.
Fat enough.
Well, one not. I don't know.
Maybe. We're both Catholic. We're both fat. He has a beard. I'm down to a goatee.
And, of course, kind of special ed guest star.
I take offense to that. I'm also known as Jiggles, thank you very much. Not just special, I'm bald, fat, and ugly.
At least he owns it. Roll intro.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
Oh, wow.
Wowie, wow, wow.
We're getting to it, people.
Let's get offensive.
Yeah.
Let's get offensive.
Ooh, we're going to tickle all the fifis and the fuck you snowflakes.
I'm so glad my father raised me as a politically incorrect person. He always told me, if you need to tell somebody to fuck off, you get right in their face, you tell them, fuck off.
That's right. We're going over why diversity in gaming sucks.
Yeah, it's a big thing, especially when we saw what happened just recently with the people over there at Dead Gentleman, Orpheus Productions.
Oh, yeah.
And the 11th hour save they got. But they only had, what, 200 backers? They made 400 grand?
Something like that. It was, their numbers were so super shit. And part of the reason why is Zombie Orpheus Entertainment has gone so super politically correct these last couple of years.
They're catering to the climate.
They are catering to the climate. They,
the flavor of the month.
They're city kids, and you know they believe that goodness and tolerance and diversity are going to win the day over actual facts and reality.
Fifis!
Did it kind of pull one? I heard it recently. Vampire Masquerade, didn't they kind of do the same thing?
Vampire Bloodlines? Yes, yeah, they yeah. are.
Like, with the whole entire, isn't it, you're gender X now or something?
Gender doesn't even apply to vampires anymore. Once you pass on to becoming a creature of the night, gender is irrelevant.
You are a blood-sucking monster. Whether or not you actually view yourself as one is a separate issue.
As long as they don't shine in the goddamn light.
I don't want it. You're going to be a sparkly damn fear, just saying.
Oh, god damn it.
We're going to nickname your character Sparkle Motion.
What's up, Edward?
You're never living it down.
Sparkle in the night.
I was sparkling in the night. You're our party's disco ball.
You're damn right.
That's right.
It's going to go from great to great.
Great. So the problem I have with diversity in gaming, because, well, our listeners probably haven't heard enough of it yet. Or maybe they have. I don't know. Honestly, you take somebody's a visual representation of that person, and you make that their defining factor. I mean, just take Blasphemous over here. He's Latino. He's proud of being Latino. He runs around with a sombrero on in the house half the time.
Hey, I only bust it out on special occasions. Payday is a special occasion.
And when I start dancing the Macarena, it's cultural appropriation.
Don't forget, I also do yard work for fun.
That's right. He does yard work. He does a great job on terracing. Like, his characters, all of them in-game, get a bonus skill to terracing because he's just got so much knowledge about yard work, right?
Yeah.
But if I took just the fact that he's Latino and boiled that down to the only reason he's invited to my game table, that's really low on my part and insulting on his part. So if somebody's decides they want to be in a game group, right, do I have to judge them on an obvious trait first? Do I have to go, well, this person is Asian, they're black, or they're LGBTQ alphabet soup? Do I have to break it down as to some sort of victim, like...
grouping?
Victim grouping, you know, where there's like, I got 1d10 victims here, and I have to invite at least 50% victims to my table before anybody else. But, you know, it's like, there's this dude I know of on Star Wars Galaxies. He's in a wheelchair, and he's a classically trained pianist. And as if his life isn't hard enough, because a piano, you actually need your feet to hit the pedals on the bottom. He can't play piano anymore because he's stuck in a wheelchair. So if I form a group and I'm like, hey, dude, come on over to my group. I'm not saying come over to my group because, well, you're an awesome dude or you got some great ideas. No, I'm saying come to my group because you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, this isn't some type of like a pity party or something else. You're literally picking them because, hey, I like you. But in this case, I've heard people picking, I actually have heard of people doing that simply out of the fact of, hey, look, we're one person short here, and we've got white, black, Asian, gay, and you fit the picture. I think we need a white person now. Thank you. And just switching from so many other things. Why choose somebody to play simply off that?
I just think it's degrading to the person you're inviting. From my mindset, anyway. You're degrading them by just taking a aspect of that person that's obvious and making that the only reason that they should exist in your social circle.
Right? And, like...
Maybe... And, like, as Kazrakan said, yeah, exactly.
It's just... It winds up in
I
this...
I hear a jelly bean coming.
Oh, he remembers them. Good to know. Yeah, like, if you're going to include a person in your gaming group, especially with RPGs, do it because they're a good person, or you actually want to see them roleplay.
Or you just want to hang out with them. This doesn't matter. True. Because, like, for you know, from my playing with me for a bit, you know, both in Goblin's campaign as well as in mine, is I just invite people I think would be fun to play with. I want to see them play a character. And yes, I do usually like to have at least one female in the group, but I kind of do that because it keeps the guys in line a bit.
I like to be able to run a game where there's at least one female there who's at least height, weight, proportion is, so I have a nice pair of tits to look at.
And is that why you want me to wear the halter top?
Exactly, yes, yes. You caught me on that one. It also immensely helps that when she's actually got a personality and she wants to roleplay to back it up rather than just be a wallflower with a character sheet.
Yes, Daddy, don't worry. I'll come over there.
Oh, yeah, you come on over here.
I mean, that's definitely a thing with it is a lot of people take this diversity thing too far. When I don't care who I'm playing with as long as they can play. I don't mind if someone's a power gamer, a rules lawyer. But
you'll learn.
It's a matter of personality when it comes to it, right?
It is. It's a thing of, if I can sit down and game with someone on a regular schedule, which is impossible, by the way, you know.
Especially these days.
Yeah, and just this whole thing where people are like, oh, well, like, I saw it in a game store when I was tooling around trying to find paint for my minis.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a thing up, and they're like, oh, we're looking for people, you know, and they listed a couple things, you know, and, like, would like someone to play this certain class, or someone who has experience with this, that, and the other. And then at the bottom of the list, they included, was it, white dudes, you know? And I was like, what the fuck?
And isn't it white dudes that made the product to begin with and made it a viable product?
I know, but you don't see... Okay, that touches on something I was actually just thinking about. It says no white dudes.
Yeah.
But how often do you really see a bunch of black kids sitting around their table, you know, down in, you know, Oakland, California, saying, hey, ma! You gonna roll them dice for me, baby?
Gaming in its own right, we never had this problem back in the 90s or the 80s or even the early aughts. For some strange reason, you wanted to go to a game table, you showed up, you were interested in gaming, you were usually welcomed into the group because they needed more people, you know, or they wanted to share what adventure they had with more people. It didn't matter what defining trait you had. You'd have everybody under the rainbow. I have sat down at the game table with retirees to kids that are still in middle school, and ageism wasn't even considered. We didn't give a shit that, you know, we got a 12-year-old kid here, has to go to bed by 9. We didn't give a shit if it was a retiree. We didn't care if it was a black dude. We didn't care if they were overweight. It was what they brought to the table.
And even then, from a bunch of your stories, you played with a fair amount of females, both those who were wallflowers and those who were actually, like, in-game.
I mean, even if in one of your games, Blasphemous, we have a small diversity, but it's, you know, we got 3 guys and a female.
4 guys.
4 guys.
Because there's 5 of you.
Yeah. Well, you didn't choose us, honestly, just simply on, I need a bearded guy, I need a bald guy, I need a fat guy, I need a chick who's got big boobs. You didn't just pick out of that. You picked us out of
out of the friend group for one, which, by the way, if you take a look at our friend group, if someone were to take us on our diversity quota, we're doing okay, but for me it was the female in the group. I enjoyed the way I've seen her play in other RPGs. Both of the Navy boys, you know, they do nothing but play when they're out on ship, you know.
What else is there to do?
I've seen you improve your gameplay just from being in this game.
Ooh, progress stories. I love those. Those are fun.
Moniker is in this group, and I picked him just because he's already at the house, you know, a couple times a month.
Might as well.
Well, it was like when we did the vampire game a few years back. Back in that shit-ass apartment.
Hottest summers with the windows bolted shut.
So that they could only open, what, 3 inches?
Taste your sweaty balls at that point?
Oh, dude, they never let me eat Taco Bell in the apartment when we were gaming.
It got to the point where we opened up the front door into the hallway, and we just didn't care whoever passed by the apartment would pass by it.
And pass out?
And just pass out.
Hey, look, I'm going to go get some free money here real quick.
Yeah, the thing, though, about that group, though, is that as far as a diversity quota goes, we had our LGBTQ alphabet soup person. We had our token Canadian, who's also a little light in the loafers.
I mean, he does figure out the whole entire white part.
He figures the white part pretty well. I mean, he is a pasty Canuck. We've got our
token... Don't you know I glow in the dark,
eh? Yeah, eh? Quiet hoser. We've got the Latino guy.
Yo,
there was Nej, who was part of our first season of podcasting. So we got our female and our husband, who's, well, he's...
Darker skinned.
No, he's not darker skinned.
He's African.
He's like an Oreo cookie.
He's like an Oreo cookie that has a sugar powder on the outside.
Yeah, he's an Oreo. He's dark on the outside, but definitely light on the inside. But I think as far as diversity goes, it was a pretty diverse group. And the funny part, of course, is who's running it? The height, weight, proportionate, middle-class, middle-aged white dude.
Wait, having a punch is height, weight, proportionate?
Oh, wait, I'm short. I could play height-ism.
Don't forget about you almost have no hair on top of your head.
I've almost got no hair elsewhere. You want to see?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, unless you're trying to make, you know, a toupee out of it, just drop it on there. It'll give me a little extra skin, a little extra hair, and then it'll look real nice.
I'll just drape my nuts on your forehead.
Still looks better than Trump.
We're not getting political. We're
specifically trying to avoid politics.
Yeah,
it's messy enough out there. We don't need it.
And I don't want my. I don't want to accidentally commit suicide intentionally.
Okay,
accidentally intentionally.
Exactly. The point of this whole thing, though, is that first group we had during the vampire game.
Yeah.
Not one person was brought to my gaming table under the auspice of what labels define them. They were brought because I wanted Kazrakan there because he's an excellent role player. And he's also a practicing GM. You know, he's still early on at that point, so he was always coming to me for hints and tips. So, hey, it's easier to have one of your Padawans there to instruct if he's actually there.
And learn from you.
Exactly.
In experience.
I wanted to let you know because he's a really cool dude.
And I was FNG, so it's always good to have an FNG.
It's always great to have an FNG, and I wanted that new person perspective on it. Not just because it's a challenge for the GM, but having a new person brings that.
It brings the A game of everyone there.
It brings the A game, and it brings a energy to the table. When you get a bunch of old curmudgeons and veterans, there's just that lack of energy. So if you get an FNG at the table, it's just super awesome. It ramps things up. And the LGBTQ alphabet soup person, I had met this individual previously outside of a GameStop. And we were talking for like 2 hours. And the more we talked, the more I was like, I want this person at a game table because they got some fantastic ideas. And during MX, it was during one of the sidebar things, I was screwing around with, like, miniature GM shit in the background.
Your little Q-Star shit?
This was, like, early on, before I even did the Q-Star shit.
Yeah.
And I handed, like, this giant wad of papers over to Nej, and she starts flipping through them. I'm like, this is the stuff that your character is getting under the agreement with this divine entity. And she's like, holy shit, this is awesome. And I'm like, okay, cool. She actually likes a GM that puts effort into their games. I want her at my table. And, of course, the Oreo, he owed me from, like, 20 years back, because I invited him to a game back then. So these guys, Engel and it, They were invited to my table not because of defining factors. They were invited because they brought something to the table.
And, you know, fun fact, the diversity that happened as a result of that was organic. It happened because of the personality-centric view, not the fact that other views were available.
I was actually going to bring that up. It was the only part of diversity that was actually wanted at that point in time was you want fresh new gamers, and you also want the old battle-hardened veterans that know how to play and everything else, the ones that know the bestiary book back to, you know, back to forth in every which way. You want that versus, hey, need you to go over here, take this new guy, everything else, teach him the ropes. That's an okay type of diversity. However, choosing somebody like, I think you need to go help out the black guy. Why? Because he's black.
It also led to some of our funnier moments because...
That is insulting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, like, you know, one of Goblin's campaigns, you know...
Are you bringing up the Old West?
Yes, I am.
Oh, the Old West game.
Yeah. Everyone loves talking about it for two reasons.
All right, Blasphemous. You've been a little quiet. Why don't you speak up and tell the tale?
All right, so we're playing Vampire. We hit a lull in the story. Intentional lull. This is where things have to happen. So we end up going back in time. But not our characters. Just us, as the players, had to go back in time and create these new characters. Well, of course, we had our resident Sawbones.
Sawbones Gunslinger. Think, if you will, Simon Tam from Firefly, if you know the series.
And then you had your Southern Baptist preacher from Texas, a.k.a. moi.
Bible thumping!
Yep. Let's see, then you had your,
Yeah, I think it was Haitian.
Yeah, he was the Haitian,
He was like the six-and-a-half-foot-tall Haitian guy with a machete.
Yeah, he
big.
Wow! Big.
Basically, he was a barbarian, if I
Yeah, he was essentially like the Old West version of a barbarian.
Then we had,
Holy shit.
Yeah.
We had the Jezebel.
Yeah, we had our courtesan. And then I can't remember the other character.
It's not important.
Yeah, not important. So we're there playing, and well, to play my character, you know, a Southern Baptist preacher from Texas, I had to use a certain word because the character.
No.
It rhymes with a Winnie the Pooh character that looks like a tiger.
No.
So I played this character. Accent, mannerisms. I even spoke with my hands in the correct way Texans do.
Boy, why don't y'all come over here right now?
Oh, Narcissus, he was laughing his ass off the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
He was
having a blast with it. That's about the only thing that kept us from getting, like, hate speech targeted.
I was
going to
say, there was no hate speech. There was no Black Lives Matter movement coming on from that.
Well,
it wasn't advertised.
I just had to explain some stuff to the neighbor who happened to be someone I worked with. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah, he was like, all right, whatever, just keep the fuck down. I'm like, those characters are dead already. But, so, with all that, considering the time period, this was what, the early 1800s?
Yeah, this was like 1820.
Okay.
So, our resident Sawbones, the Canadian here, our good flying dragon, had... almost a stroke trying to use the word.
Because I needed to get the big meat shield to get over there so I could fucking fix him. Like,
all I'm seeing is just this situation just building up, and just like the, you know, fuse on a bomb, it's about to blow up, and as soon as you drop that word, it's just boom, and you're waiting for just...
the hammer to fall.
Yeah, just
it was great. Narcissus is sitting over there, and he's just like, he's got one hand over his mouth, and he's like sitting there, and he's... he's laughing to himself because he doesn't want to interrupt the game. So he's holding back his laughter. I'm sitting over there in my GM area. I'm kind of like just looking anywhere I can but at the players because it'd be a dead giveaway. I'm laughing my ass off too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bother. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, he was laughing. His like entire front jiggly areas all jiggling around Stay Puft Marshmallow style. And Kazrakan's sitting over there and he's just... and he has this look of pain trying to get that one word out.
So uncomfortable.
It was so uncomfortable. And Narcissus is over there just like, come on, dude, just use the word. I don't care.
It's people that annoy you. You need to say it. You can do it.
It went from 0 to 60 in a real quick hurry, because it's like, okay, fine. Get over here!
Blank word.
I'm deliberately censoring it for podcast. Yeah. But yes, I did belt it out.
What word? Do you mean naggers?
Yes, yes.
You asswipes.
It's kind of like these little crustaceans that are kind of like arthropods or something like that from the deep south. You get them during the summertime, most likely, especially, strangely enough, in Texas. They're called chiggers. they're like little ticks, and they feed on areas where your body has moisture all over it. You can look this shit up. They're real. I hate the things because they are so uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. I found one on me once.
Yeah. Like if they inspect us at school around the belt line and underneath the armpits, you know, for them. Because they're like little ticks, and they latch on and drink blood. They're like bed bugs, but worse.
Yeah, yeah. They're like if leeches and bed bugs had a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, at least at that point, you could give them credit.
But yeah, anyway.
It starts with a CH.
So.
But it rhymes with the word that was being used. And Narciss is over there basically waving the black card around. Like, it's okay to use it this one time, dude. You know, he's basically giving him, you know, the gratis to go ahead and use that word in character.
This is your get-out-of-jail-free card. Use it.
Well, it's kind of like one of the stories from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
So anybody who's watched Blazing Saddles knows, the first time you watch that, your brain falls out of the back of your head. Just like, how did they get away with making this movie? And Don Cheadle and the actor who played Mongo, I can't remember Mongo's, the actor's name.
Mm-hmm.
But the actor, he walks up and he's like telling Don Cheadle, he's like, look, dude, I'm really uncomfortable saying this word. You know, I know it's in the script. My line's like 50 times in one scene, but I'm feeling really uncomfortable. And Don Cheadle, you know, great actor that he is, he turns around and he goes, look, it's part of the movie. I signed on to make this movie knowing that this word was all throughout the movie. So I'm okay with it from that standpoint. And I'm okay with your character saying it. It's only when you use that word at me or anybody I know, it, in a form of anger, then we got a problem.
And it's just one of those things of, this was a defining moment in our very diverse group that was organically diverse. Meanwhile, if you had a awkward group where you went and tailored and was like, I need, you know,
this group one, and that yeah, group this and group, that group, group,
and you had to have all the tokens, where we just showed up and we're like, oh, we're tokens, cool.
Yeah, you don't expect, now this might be a little touchy for a few people. You don't expect some Mexican guy to be playing a rogue. You don't expect some big-ass white guy to be playing, you know, a fighter or a barbarian. Nor do you expect some woman to be the, how do we say it? The
Barbarella? Chainmail bikini?
Yeah.
I was going to go with Pippi.
The very well-endowed priestess.
Yeah. But that's kind of the thing we're getting to is, when you just let groups form, like, think about it. When we play MX with Fatimus.
Oh, God. You could literally wind up with anything as anyone. I've seen a flower that could shoot lasers.
No, I'm not talking in that respect.
But look at the people players who game at it.
Okay, yeah.
Well, what flavors under the rainbow show up to join in his games?
Oh, you got everything from the alphabet soup down to I honestly think the only people we have yet to play with is somebody who's both, or all three, blind, deaf, and stupid. Like, I mean, honestly,
blind, deaf, and dumb drunk.
The only players that I have not seen show up at his table, and it might happen, is like somebody who's Peter Dinklage size.
No, I believe we actually have had one before, and he was actually there as somebody's he was actually somebody's care assistant, mm-hmm, who was handicapped.
Oh, okay.
So he actually brought him in to play and
wound up playing as well.
Yeah, he wound up playing. First he came in for Magic, and then he saw us playing MX. I was like, dude, can I play? And Matt didn't even question it. He was like, yeah, absolutely. Here's, you know,
here's the rundown.
Exactly. This is what it is. It's, you know, a limit of your imagination. And he asked him, what do you want to be? The guy himself chose to be a small person. He chose to do what he was going to do. That in itself is, hey, if you want to play that, sure. But don't ever choose somebody simply out of the fact of that, because that wasn't the reason the fat man chose him. He chose him because he liked his personality. He liked who he was as a gamer and really enjoyed hanging out with him. And that's what I think really it should be about, instead of just
filling some slots.
Quota, yeah. Filling slots is some quota. It's why would you want to do
and
that?
And think about another thing is, we try to be open as gamers, at least from my experience with y'all. If someone says, hey, I want a game, we either try to work them in, we let them sit in on a session, or if it's just an open freeform thing, sure. But if I've got a closed group where this is the only time we get to meet for 6 months, I'm sorry, I've only got my closed group, but I'll totally invite them to another game I do later.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you can also make someone's day if, like, if you find a gamer and they're being, you know, picked on or discriminated against because of their disability, you can choose, if you feel that they are worth sitting at your table, you can choose to include them.
I think, actually, while your mouth is open over there, Kazrakan, allow me to grab your foot and move it ever so closely to your chin, because did you not kick out a kid with learning disability from your group while we were at the store?
Yes, because his behavior was unbecoming of my table. Not because of anything else that happened, but because his behavior was disruptive to my table.
Actually, that is a legit reasoning there. I was there during that time. Number one, Kazrakan and his group of gamers had rented the room as private space. It was not open space. Therefore, while they were there to game in that space, they had the right to say, you get out of the room, we paid for it, or you come into the room, we paid for it. It was their space, rented during store hours. So they had full rights with the management's backing to say who could come and go out of that room. Aside from management, because I like to sneak in from time to time and just be like...
It was really funny watching a lot of my players react to Q's antics, either behind me or in front of me, and it was a lot of fun.
The other part of it, too, was the kid who showed up, despite the fact that, yes, he did have learning disabilities, did not need to be invited to the table specifically because he had learning disabilities. He did try to integrate. He did try to integrate with
English.
The group. English. I only speak two languages, English and bad English, and I'm not good at the first one. Oh, who kicked the table?
Saws.
Jellybean.
Two of them.
No.
Anyway, just one. The kid who showed up at your table, Kazrakan, I would totally back you guys up on that one because you had rights to the room. Number two, it was about 3 weeks of him trying to get into your group. And then he did one of the faux pas that a lot of people do near the end cycle. He just invited himself into the game. He rolled up a character on his own volition, came into the room, sat down at the table, waited for everybody else to show up and said, I'm ready to game. Without asking for implicit permission from the GM and the rest of the group.
Because at that point, you don't know if it'll be able to have that person jump in. Like, recently with Blasphemous group over here that I'm in, Crixus has had to switch out a few teammates already.
Only one.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a nice way of saying player kill.
No, this was literally someone who was not jiving with the group and was given the option that if they want, they can leave the game. And they took the option.
Well, just on a side part on that one, that was because this was somebody who was trying to take in real life type situations and everything else using real life military tactics versus a sci-fi fantasy type of gameplay.
So they were trying to meta.
Yeah, yes, very much exactly.
So. And it's like, that doesn't work, but I would know to do that, so my character should know to do that, does not mean that you should be able to do that all the time.
Or trying to get peasants to become your informants. And it's like, they're farmers. It's harvest season. They're worried about getting their crops up before they rot.
And besides that, any idea the players have for gathering informants, somebody else has already done.
Yeah, like,
this is why kingdoms and empires kind of stay strong. They've already got their information network, you know,
in place.
Laid out and in place. So when a player comes in and says, oh, I'm just going to take over all the orphanages. No, you're not, dude. Yeah. Somebody else has probably already gotten that idea.
And a shout out to that person that I replaced him. I'll go use his character name, Grigori. One of the best druids I've ever actually worked with. And he was actually one of the best people to come into this game. And, you know, speak on to bring diversity back into this part of the conversation. He was another person that helped just play. And it wasn't simply because of who the color
is made of,
what he's made of, the color of skin or anything else. He was one of the best players I had ever played with, simply out of his humor, his personality. His demeanor was perfect to play the druid. Like, as soon as he had told you his backstory, you fell in love with the character. Like, he's a Russian druid. Like, quite literally, a Russian druid, and he is the farthest thing from what you'd think from a druid. I was almost about to say hippie.
Well, I mean,
I was just thinking, Soviet carnivore plants need Soviet solution.
It's got what Soviet plants craves.
Duh.
Duh. I have elephant's foot, you want to see?
As long as it's not elephant trunk.
You want to see my one-eared elephant?
Oh, God. Oh.
God damn. Well, that's the thing, too. You know, like, diversity, the way that they're boiling it down now is you have to pick a group based on tokens. And for some strange reason, and the weird part that it really gets me is the hypocrisy of it, where even now at Wizards of the Coast, they're putting up signs that say, no white dudes.
You're shitting me.
No.
No.
They're putting up signs stop dropping shit on the table. They say, there's signs that say no white dudes when it comes to, like, making their cards and shit. And I'm like, number one.
Por qué?
Because, just, brain hurts. Okay, when Magic first came out, it was white dudes who were buying, trading, and playing Magic for the most part, predominantly.
Mm-hmm.
When D&D first came out, it was invented by a bunch of white dudes who were pretty much selling it to other white dudes who were interested in Renaissance fairs and medieval technology and things like that.
Or other wargamers.
And now they're basically saying, no white dudes on the signs. I mean, and nobody seems to catch on to the fact that...
That's like trying to say, no planeswalkers allowed in Standard.
Okay, here's the mental image I get. When I see no white dudes on a door, I'm thinking back to like 1940s, 1950s America. How long is it till we're going to have two separate water fountains and one's for whites only?
Yeah, we're going to go right back to segregation. That already is segregating a certain, you know,
demographic.
At this point, that's not diverse. That's
the antithesis.
Way. Yeah.
That's division.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
antithesis.
Antithesis.
English.
You're English.
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Oh, they hate it when you say that shit.
What about paschetti?
Spaghetti.
I will strangle you with the goddamn noodle.
I'm specifically saying right now. Anyway.
I caught that. Yeah.
Just because I'm Sicilian doesn't mean I'm not going to come over there and drop the spaghetti and meatballs right in your mouth. Oh,
you're Sicilian?
Yeah.
Well, let me go get some of my flavorless, colorless powder and see who wins the next fight. Yeah. I'll go in with a Sicilian with death is on the line.
White people.
White people. It's just the fact that what they're doing with diversity right now, and you take the word white out of their deal, any other color you insert in there would start, like, riots.
Immediately. We've had that situation up here where we live at. It is taking up city blocks. It's cut off traffic for people that are desperately needing to get to work. Down in these areas, you know, our state is very... likes to think it's very progressively ahead of its time.
It's a red state with a blueberry at the Capitol.
That's yeah.
what it is.
But let's be honest. As you said it right there, it's a blueberry at the top of it. Do you really think this little tiny little blue dot is going to hide away all the other underlining issues at that same time? No, it's like trying to put a Band-Aid on a set of something that needs stitches. It's not going
to
work.
Look at what's happened to the blueberry in the last 5 years trying to accommodate everybody. It's now a hate crime to shit on the street. Or no, it's now a hate crime to clean up shit on the street.
Yeah. If I have, it is actually against the law now to go pick up shit off the street. It's right up there with collecting goddamn rainwater. But that's a different point entirely. If I wanted to go pick up some... let's try to think of a combination of everything.
Uh-oh.
Some white, black, Asian person's shit off the ground, I would start a riot and then be lynched by all three at the same time. And that would probably be... Yeah. That would be okay in this state.
And it's more than that. Like,
There's so many issues with people trying to break everyone into these monolithic groups when it's not. It's a collection of individuals. You need to, everyone should be judged as an individual, not by the components they're made of, but by their actions, their deeds, their words. I don't care what someone looks like. If they're a good gamer, I don't care if they're from another fucking planet. If they're a different species of hominid or anything. Bring out a Neanderthal. Find a goddamn Neanderthal. I don't care.
Ah, D&D 5.0. So easy a caveman could do it.
I play it off my phone, quite honestly. One of our local friends, I'll address him as the sexual legend, has made a 5e campaign, and he has not excluded a single person. Not one person has he excluded yet. And he tries to make it open for everyone to play. But it is by far the easiest campaign I've actually tried to play is 5e.
So, two questions. One, was this a titling of his own choice, or was this something that other people have ascribed to him? A sexual legend
No. Other people have honestly labeled him as a sexual legend. You go ask around any of the women that have been with him, and any of the guys that have heard about it, he's earned it.
Okay. Second question.
Sounds like me and this guy need to go have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he just might rest it on your shoulder beforehand.
No, because I legitimately have the name tag that says porn star, and I earned it.
And what was the other question?
5e is a very simple system. It's how you make the campaign and story that'll make it easy.
It was a homebrew.
Here's another thing to the 5e. Goblin and I are doing a side project where we are reviewing the core rulebook, considering it's been 5 years. And we're finding the character creation, a lot of the stuff, to where you have to go from the book to online to Reddit to try and find your answer. How is this easy? So, but that's a side project.
That's a side project, and the only thing I can think of is when we do each class. And it's strange, you know, because if you look at such a classist, racist system as D&D, we're looking through this, and I'm just like, we get to, like, I think it was almost got to Cleric, and I'm just like, I don't want to review this anymore. I got nothing other than this game sucks.
Yeah, seriously, the whole thing about spells, like, when you read through on how to cast spells, it is not easily read. Like, the way they wrote it is very nebulous. Yeah.
And the weird part is, oh my god, we can circle this bicycle right back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're looking at D&D 5e, we see it as Dungeons and or Dragons.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's like, this is one of the first, what's the word I'm looking for, inclusive?
It is super inclusive. It is so inclusive that I found two instances, like in the first few paragraphs of each description. One of them starts out with he, such as, you know, when it's describing the class, he does this or he does that. A couple of them was they or their, so it was nondescript. So we got 12 classes here. One is specifically from the male perspective. Two are from an ambiguous perspective. 9 are from the female perspective.
Are you assuming their gender?
No, the book is.
Okay.
The book specifically says she. 9 times on class descriptions. Okay. That's inclusive as fuck. But the thing is, we're looking at D&D and judging the book by its cover. We're going, oh, it's Dungeons & Dragons. It's just another continuation of the series,
mm-hmm.
you know, with upgraded rules and everything. So it should be at my game table because I'm looking at the book's cover. So it's basically like I look at somebody and go, oh, this person is black and I need a more diverse group. So I'm going to invite this person solely because they're black without knowing what the content of that person is. Or we're playing D&D, not knowing the content of the book. You see where I'm getting with this, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, man, we can bring the bicycle full circle, because we're looking at Dungeons & Dragons, and we just decided to start reviewing it. We look at the book cover, we're like, oh, it's Dungeons & Dragons. We did the same thing during 4th. 4th, you know, we looked at it, we're like, oh, it's Dungeons & Dragons. We opened it up, and we realized...
It's a board game.
Yeah, it was basically an MMO with dice.
That's it.
That's it. There really was no roleplay. And then as a game master, as a person, as a leadership style individual, some whatever the fuck, I don't know. I don't know how I wind up in the position. When I judge a person, I'm a relic. I understand this now because I subscribe to the ML King way of looking at people and being like, we're going to talk. I don't care what you look like. You could be the fuggliest motherfucker in the room, 350 pounds, half black, half Eskimo, half Chinese, Buddhist, Taoist at the same time. However the fuck that would mix up. But I want to talk to you first before inviting you to my game table. Because, you know, I don't know. The whole diversity thing. There are some things I'm waiting for. I am so waiting for this. Is to have, like, the stereotypical large-nosed man rubbing his hands together with a six-pointed star.
No.
I'm waiting to hear about a game table that has one of these individuals at it. Alongside a person whose regional history, we're going to say cultural history, includes running into loaded bus depots wearing explosive devices.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I want to see how these two people in a diverse group would respond to being, you know, like the healer and fighter of the party.
You want to know where you should set them at that point? Have them start off in a desert location.
Well, you know, we can always get Kyle. The only hard part's going to be the guy that really likes rugs.
Yeah, well, that's just the thing, though, is if we force diversity at the table, people are kind of, like, ignoring the fact that culture exists. Family traditions exist. History exists. And a lot of these people who grow up, regardless of the region or culture that they're in, will have parts of these culture ingrained from childhood into their adult lives. And the point I'm trying to make with Large Nose Man and Explodey Man is their cultures have that reputation for a reason.
I mean,
it's like white people running around all over the world, killing everybody else and taking over the market economies for just spice alone. We have this reputation for a reason.
I mean, you got Canadians over here that like, you know, the maple syrup and hockey. That's their reputation.
Yeah.
You get Italians who love, you know, spaghetti sauce, garlic, and, you know, the Godfather.
You got the Latinos here who are, you know, supposedly lazy all the time. But you know what? That whole siesta thing in the middle of the day, great fucking idea.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm over there busting my ass getting shit done. And I'm like, God, I wish I could be like those Latinos over there who are just chilling out in the middle of the day. Because, fuck, they must know something I don't.
Yeah, they know that to, you know, have that siesta during the day, they probably start work at about 4:30 in the morning.
That's true.
I will say this. I have never met a harder working person than somebody that's, you know, honestly Latino. They are some of the hardest working people out there, and I think it's only to prove that
They're not. Lazy.
Yeah, to prove against the diverse picture.
Well, maybe they've also figured out that there are legitimate medical health benefits to just chilling out in the middle of the day and relaxing.
Yeah, but even more than that, when we see people try to do the forced diversity,
yeah,
you pull a bunch of people together just because they're tokens, you know, and then there's friction in the group for whatever small reason, and it just starts lighting off this powder keg because if you're doing this, you're probably inviting people who already have that mindset of, this is a powder keg, I'm owed something. And when you bring that to a table where you're supposed to fight and, you know, work together and all this shit, and then someone just has a problem with someone else, that's when you have issues. Like, yeah. I have never, it may be anecdotal, and yes, I'm a newer GM and I'm newer to conventions than most people, but over the past 6 years, I have not met a single group that has been like, oh, only white people. I've never met a very exclusionary group. I've never met a group that's like, oh, no, this is the Black Panther Pathfinder Society. We only play with, you know, our fellow Africans. And it's
now,
like...
Now, the only time I've ever actually seen any of that happen is only by circumstantial situations. And it's not even forced. It, at that point is, who do we have around? Y'all motherfuckers want to play some Pathfinder? Yeah. Just lo and behold, turns out to be four white guys and one black person. Does not mean... That's the token black person. It's literally because
that's who's available.
Exactly.
That's a dude who showed up with a character sheet.
Yeah.
And most of the groups that I've gone through in, like, the last 20-plus years, that's typically the case. I've wound up in a group where I was sitting there, and I'm the youngest person at the table at the time, almost, like, 25. Everybody else is easily double my age, and not once a day you call me young man or, you know, one of them, like, do the finger behind the ears thing. None of the ladies at the table said, oh, you're just a baby. There was no ageism there whatsoever based on the fact that I was half their age. Everybody else is gray and old.
And this kid got it.
And this is the kind of shit that you find normally at a game table.
Or should find normally.
Well, in my case, it was a fairly normal occurrence. You'd go to a game table, and any defining characteristics about you were kind of just swept away. Because most gamers who are tried and true gamers are more interested about, you know, when it comes to the game, they're more interested in the story and the challenge and the adventure, and they kind of apply the same things to people. They're more interested in what kind of music does this person like? Are they intelligent? Do they have the ability to enunciate their words well? They're more interested in the person than what the person looks like or what token definition they have.
Because by definition, D&D, tabletop role-playing in general, was originally from the Outcasts, where our only conjoining thing was we wanted to play the game. I have never seen a table where they discriminate against someone because of their sexuality. No one cares. It doesn't matter because it doesn't impact the game.
Our infamous Fat Man, praise the Fat Matt. Glory to him on that one. I'll give him a little shout out that.
Got something brown on your nose there, buddy.
Oh, no, that's just the that's the brown sugar. Don't worry. No, what it is that I will say this. If we've ever had a problem at MX, it has never been because of somebody's orientation or racial standpoint or disability. We've had everything there. And if anybody were to start discriminating, if it wasn't in good-hearted fun, like Narcissus, we can make black jokes when he's around. We do it, he'll do it with us, and he'll laugh his ass off. But the second we actually notice somebody, you know, dropping that
famous word.
Yeah,
the famous word that rhymes with a cartoon character that looks like a tiger out of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they'll jump on it immediately, kick him out of the group. Not because of what color their skin is, just simply because they're being a douchebag.
Well, it was like when we were still at the shop a few years back, we had racist comedy hour.
Yeah.
And everybody knew that if you dropped a racist joke, you were now playing the game. And as somebody playing the game, you were allowed to be tagged. And the only real rule of that game was if people stop laughing, you know you've gone too far, game is over. But up until that point, you can say whatever you want as long as it was in good jest. So part of the whole point of that game that people caught on to was the fact that these are things you're not allowed to say. You know, and
these are the hush-hush.
These are the hush-hush things you're not allowed to say because, you know, society as a whole says these are bad things. But what happens when you tell a child that they can't do something? They want to do it. So you get to, like, this pent-up frustration. You want to drop some certain words. You want to make jabs at somebody. And I think one of the best crowning achievements was we had, like, the Filipinos attacking the Jews who turned around and attacked the Asians, who turned around and attacked the blacks, who turned around and attacked the whites, who turned around and attacked the women, who turned around and attacked everybody.
And then you got the fat people attacking the muscular and the skinny people.
Yeah, you had the fat people attacking the skinny people attacking the fat people.
Short people, you know, yelling up at the, you know, giants, yeah. And the giants, you know, having to holler down.
Yeah, everybody was attacking everybody for, like, it was almost a two-hour game session, and, like, a few new nicknames came out of it. I think one guy, because he didn't like it, but eventually, you know, tech support started sticking to him, because, you know, his family is from that region that's known for tech support.
Yeah, and guess what? That's what he does for a
and that's what he does for a living, but he didn't like it at first, but eventually he just fucking owned it. And that's,
you think I liked Jiggles when I first got it, you know, 14 goddamn years ago? No, I hate it because it was like, I don't want to be known as the fat guy. Now I own that shit.
That's exactly it. As tech support, own that shit. And one of the side fringe benefits of that is during the game, some of these people would start owning up to shit that was thrown at them. You know, like the guy with the yarmulke would just be like, "L'chaim," you know, and you're like, and it would defuse anything you throw at him at that point because he has just taken away all the power of those words by owning it.
Take the mic right out,
and that's it right there. The way we could get rid of all of it is by actually talking about it, by making these jokes. We take away the power and all the issues that it creates nowadays. If there was a sense of openness and understanding, we wouldn't have to worry about diversity or this person calling this person a name or making this into a bigger fight. It wouldn't turn into that situation.
No, it wouldn't.
We wouldn't have to look at it like, I don't want to choose that colored folk people over there and trying to figure out who the hell they're talking about. You could just be like, yeah, I want the black guy right over there to play with me, and I want that Asian guy right there to play with me. Simply like that. The second you say, shh, don't say that word, you give that that word power.
Yeah.
Because exactly. You make it a
taboo.
Taboo, thank you.
You make it a taboo. And if I can just use a simple word to hurt somebody else,
I'm going to abuse the shit out of them.
Yeah.
If I'm in a mood and I can use that word to hurt somebody, and not really get any recourse out of it, fuck yeah, I'm going to use it. But if like when Narciss came up to me and he was taking pot shots at me during one of the racist comedy hour games.
I have never heard him make more white jokes in that moment in time than during the, you know, racist comedy hour.
Well, he nailed me for not being able to dance. And I was like, yeah, it wounded me a little bit because I can't dance. But I was like, at the same time, dude, I was like, yeah, you win on that one, dude. I can't.
But aren't you Irish?
No, I'm not Irish.
Oh, thank God.
No, he's a dress wearer.
I'm man who fights
Scots. In dress.
No.
Oh.
I'm Chinese, dude.
I guess that makes me
I am a strong,
Indian?
Independent Chinese woman who don't need no man. And the fucked up part is, I can say this shit in today's modern times.
And they have to believe him.
And
because
they have,
that's what you identify
and,
as.
Yeah, they have to believe me. I can say this unironically now. I can race swap on a whim. I used to need a mod in Skyrim for this crap.
Yeah, no, I've actually seen that. I've seen, I think the one thing that really bothers me the most is we have to be socially inclusive on most of these things, but the last thing I want to see is some snow paper white girl, you know, not even old enough to, you know, figure out, you know, full amount of algebra, out here dropping the M-bomb, talk with a grill in her mouth, you know, no saying, clapping her hands.
Oh,
that's the last thing I want to goddamn see.
Dude. You know what? I grew up down
I
in South.
White people.
No. Yeah, just follow me along. When I was down in South Seattle, about just 98.
I am white, by the way.
Yeah, I know you're white, by the way. Yeah, but I'm Asian, so I can talk shit about white people all I want. Anyway, we had like, okay, imagine these two people at a fucking game table. I get on the bus, and I'm down there in South Seattle by Skyway Martin Luther King Way, which are notorious for not exactly being people-friendly areas, when you have a skin color that's lighter than, black.
That is an understatement.
So I used to live down there, dude.
I lived near there, and I didn't want to go in certain areas simply because, was it because of the color of the skin? It was simply out of the fact of, this place is fucking bad. I don't want to get held up for the $20 I'm going to go use at Blockbuster.
Well, yeah, they're like, shit, the first winter I lived down there, a girl was found chopped up and thrown in a trash can half a block from my house.
Ooh, goddamn.
Yeah, this is the kind of fun neighborhood I was living in. But the thing is, like, when you're talking about the teen girl with the grills going on.
Don't get it started.
Now, imagine this.
Catch me outside.
For the sake of diversity, say a D&D group opens up. I got on the bus one day, and as I'm walking in, there are a couple of hardcore gangster types, right? Two tall black dudes. One was a slightly skinnier dude, you know, with the basketball thing going on. And these guys were the kind of dudes you do not want to fuck with kind of situation. You knew that they were there to fuck you up if you got in their face.
Yeah.
Right? And these guys, you know, just the words that are coming out of their mouth, fuck it. You know what? I'm a 5 foot tall goblin. Let them say whatever the fuck they want. This is their neighborhood. This is not my house. This is their house. They can say what they fucking want. And I walk down and I get near the back end of the bus and I sit near the door area because I usually
scoot. Quickest way to get on, quickest way to get off.
Yeah, when that fucking door opens, dude, I am down the stairs and gone, right?
I don't even want to wait for somebody. I don't want that awkward feeling.
But
I just want to be gone.
And there's this dude who's got the total Eminem ripoff. He's like low budget Eminem.
Feminem?
He's got like the oversized glass thing hanging out of his ear. It's supposed to look like a diamond kind of shit. The snap back, no top, the visor thing going on, but backwards and slightly to the side. Like, total white boy trying to be black. And I'm like, now imagine, for the sake of diversity, this white kid invites those two black hardcore gangsters to join his D&D group. What would that look like?
D&Dizzle?
For shizzle, my G-Nizzle.
I'm thinking the first time that kid, you know, like, if they actually, like, were in the same garage, you know, rolling dice, the first time the kid busts out anything that starts with the letter N.
They might bust him.
It doesn't have to be the complete word, even. He's going to get fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Because culture is real. And you can't just include anybody at your game table based solely on the fact of, oh, that person looks like they have a character sheet, they should show up.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Very much more of a sword of Damocles, actually.
Damocles.
English. Do you know speak? I'm Asian. I have trouble with English.
So it will both. it's both damaging to both parties, because we could include that person simply out of the fact of, as you said, culture. We'll leave it at that part.
Yeah.
Or we could simply... Sorry, I see you over here just smacking the lips, everything else and all of...
Look at these good luscious Asian lips of mine.
Poor Jiggles has just been dying of laughter, and he's been trying to keep it quiet like a good dude.
Well, let me pick it up while you're having a pause there. We can take this from recent events. What is it? What's the online D&D?
DDO or Neverwinter?
No. The one for playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, you mean like Roll20?
Roll20. That's what it was. And you were part of this, I believe. There was a group who said they only wanted to have guys play. They got shut down and what, banned?
That was about a year ago. Yeah, they got shut down and banned. It was a group of white guys that did a four-men-only Roll20 site. But all the ones that are women-only or specific color-only, A-OK.
Or specific sexual orientation only, they're okay.
Yeah.
But it's the double-edged sword on both ends, because you have the diversity sword,
mm-hmm.
where they can use it to chop people into different, you know, monoliths.
Okay. Yeah.
But as soon as a monolith comes up that they don't want, they cut it down. Now, for our end... Huh?
Instantaneously.
Yeah, or they campaign and ruin people's lives.
Oh,
for us, we're like, let anyone in. We use this sword to, you know, cut barriers. But for us, if you cut a barrier and there's friction, all of a sudden you just stabbed yourself, you know. And it's one of those things of I play with an open door policy. I just want to game with people I want to game with. I don't care what they look like, what background they got. I believe we all have this standpoint. Am I right?
Yeah, very correct.
Even as a player, I would rather have people I know play with me simply out of, you know, fun functionality. I don't want them to play with me just simply because, hey, you fit a certain demographic.
Exactly. And we, like, when we're at the shop doing MX, absolutely. People just show up and we're like, hey, this is awesome. You want to sit down?
It could be a complete stranger that's never played D&D or anything else in their life. And the fat man will look right at him and say, use your imagination. Literally anything and everything is abilities, classes, races, alien species. If you want to be a...
If you want to be in freaking... My Little Pony, he lets people.
Yeah, if you wanted to be a Twi'lek that speaks Chinese, you could do that.
Mandarin or Cantonese?
Mandarin.
Cantonese.
Really?
Okay. So they're from the southern end. Okay. Fuck them.
Anything. You could be honestly anything. If you wanted to be Jabba the Hutt, a Hutt, and call him Biggie Smalls, go ahead.
You know, it gives me a great idea for like a hut with a headband and a microphone.
Icky wiki, here come the hippies.
Ichuta!
But from that, where we see online where some groups, it's okay for them to have an exclusionary, you know,
policy.
XYZ only. But for another group to do it that they see as their enemy, they're like, nope. It's like in reality, there's been since at least the 60s, they have done their best to eliminate men's only clubs, right?
Which, oh, hey, yeah.
Whatever. You know, whatever happened to their private business, they can do whatever they want.
Well,
now they want to do women only clubs or XYZ only clubs, they're supposed to be welcomed and appreciated into the area. And it's like, you got to pick one or the other, guys. It's either everybody can have their own or everyone's supposed to be integrate.
Now, I know I've got one on that because our state being as progressive as it is, line sacks of shit. One of the things I've always had an issue with, and that brings that up, is you can either include somebody in there in your little group, or you can exclude them and let it ruin you. There have been local gay bars that have said, no straight folk allowed. And it's like, why?
Is there a test? I just want to know, is there like some sort of gay test that you have to pass when you come in through the door?
They need to check if you're, you know, listen to Celine Dion, I think.
Really? I thought it'd be where they show you three color swatches, and you need to know that it's not just pink, green, and blue. It's supposed to be like salmon and
cyan.
Oh, that's obviously fuchsia. That's obviously cyan. Yeah.
No, that's cyan.
And then the other side of this, what happens if you're colorblind?
See, then you're fucked. Just,
well, there's a hypocrisy in the situation, though, is especially with the way that the dynamics work right now, is you can identify as anything you want. In fact, poof, I'm no longer an Asian woman. Exactly. See, that's how easy it is. Now I'm a Latina transsexual.
That's also a Firefox. You can't forget that shit.
See, this is how willy-nilly it is. I can identify as whatever I want. Poof, there is, guess what? Now I'm Indonesian.
I think there's like over... well over 12 genders now. I
72.
70.
Wait, no, there was an addendum. Because now there is a gender for every combination of genders.
No, no. No, no, no.
Yes. Yes.
What there's, is that, like 72 to the 72nd power or some shit?
Something like that, yeah.
The hypocrisy. Infinitum.
Ah!
Yeah, it's ah! The hypocrisy of this is...
What the fuck?
They had this happen at a college not too long ago about the whole... diversity and shit. And this is the kind of shit they're trying to pull at our game table.
Ah.
Right? And they had a safe space. And it, you know, basically, it was for black people only. And they had some kid come in there who was obviously not genetically black. And they kicked him out, even though they said they identified
as black.
Was his
name fucking Michael Jackson or something?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
I don't know, but the thing is, legally, you can identify as whatever the fuck you want to, and in the state of California, it's legally recognized. So, getting kicked out of that safe space, if it happened in California, would have been a legal
action. Offense.
Yeah, it would have been
an actionable offense. Then I identify as skinny.
Yes!
I identify as skinny. I am trans fat.
You know what? I identify as being 66 years old. Can I retire now?
Go fucking ahead at this point, because if this is all the shit that's going on... fuck this shit.
This is the level of crazy they're trying to pull into our game table.
My head literally hurts from this amount of stupidity and trying to understand this.
Now, hold on.
I'm not the smartest guy. I took hits for a living. This is stupider than that.
Now,
we should
it gets
also
worse.
Note here, you know, Goblin has also identified as a, what was the, raptor?
Yes, I originally identified as an attack helicopter, but I realized that as soon as somebody else was doing that, I was a conformist. And so in order to supplement my ability to be a rebel, I later then identified as a Zumwalt-class destroyer. And as any military guys in the Navy know, Zumwalt-class destroyers are known for breaking down at sea and being left many kilometers away from shore, which is normally my mental mindset. And it's then, like, hey, Q, what's going on today? And then just, like, my reactor shuts off.
So you're a broke white guy?
I am a broke destroyer.
Okay. Yeah. And then I think you gave that about that time the anime came out of the attack ships that were girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't want to go into something just as stupid. I'm going to need some goddamn jelly juice to clean this shit out.
Speaking of which, I should probably take that.
Oh, yeah, he's going to do his jelly bean for you. He's been knocking the table constantly, so he gets this jelly bean. Spinning the wheel.
Says.
And it looks like it is white, and it says coconut or spoiled milk.
Well, regardless
either
of the
way,
fact,
it's gross.
He's getting his jelly bean because it comes from a diverse box of jelly beans. And now, granted, do you know what spoiled milk tastes like?
No.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? What was the other one? Popcorn?
Coconut.
Coconut. You know what coconut tastes like. So you have an expectation of either one. Now, wouldn't it really throw you off? Because you're judging the jelly bean by its exterior shell.
You candy.
You jelly beanist.
Candiest jelly beanist. You racist.
Eat your jelly bean. And he's making a funny face as he's realizing the mistaken error of judging that jelly bean by its color.
It's coconut, isn't it?
Nope.
No?
Well.
Are you judging it?
Are you suddenly... He's microaggressioning the jelly bean right now.
Microaggressions!
I don't even understand what the fuck a microaggression is. Again, I'm a relic, right? I come from the 80s. There was only two things. There was turtle, rabbit, right? There was, you're cool with this person, you're punching this person in the fucking face.
It didn't matter what race you were or what you identified
as. There was slightly aggressive, which is, you know, get the fuck out of my face, buddy. And then there was full on, beat the shit out of this guy until the cops show up. There was no microaggression where you're just like, good morning. Oh, microaggression. This could assume my morning.
Are you assuming that it was a good morning? You have no idea what it could have gone through. It could have been an average morning where I could have, you know, fucked up my eggs and then passed all my classes following after that great breakfast.
So, real quick, let me tell you guys about a real place where the, I was at a party in Texas when I was working at a seat manufacturing facility. And my buddy, who is mulatto, he hates that word, so I'm going to use it. We were at this party, and this guy busts down the door and starts saying, "Who the hell invited that goddamn half-breed?" And shit you not, my buddy turns to me and says, "Wait, there's a hobbit here?" Yes, we had already been drinking. But he is half African-American, half white, and they literally kicked him out because he was half African. And then they found out I was a Mexican. Luckily, I was already gone.
Are you assuming that just because they're a half-breed, that, you know, they could be a halfling, but they also could be a goblin?
Shire Baggins! See, goblins right, are just so, halflings that don't bathe.
Fuck you. It should also be noted that Jiggles has, for whatever reason, elected to take a spin on the wheel of torture.
Just because Italians like to gamble.
Okay, well, that's going to be our final thought, is you having a jelly bean.
Either dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie. Oh, God, I am. Oh,
now, is that actually the strawberry smoothie is really good. Right.
So now describe the jelly bean.
It's
is it salmon?
I don't know. It kind of looks the same as the peach and barf one.
Yeah, let me take a look.
So now they all look the same to you. That's racist.
Yes, they do look the same.
Okay, with this jelly beanism.
I think it's this one.
I think you're wrong.
I think it's that one. They look the same.
So it looks like it's got red flecks. Looks pink and red. Looks a little light.
That's why don't you guys just grab one at random at this point?
Yeah, we might as well get rid of the wheel.
I got dead fish.
It's a dead fish.
I got dead fish.
Just like our podcast, it's a dead fish.
Well, on that,
I gambled and I lost. This is fucking bullshit. This is why most Italians loot their goddamn money.
See, I told you I would go into with the other on. And we've lost Jiggles, who's running to the kitchen.
So, at that point, everyone, let diversity come naturally. Don't force it. Invite people because of their character, no matter what you're playing. You can be sitting down having a good old-fashioned, you know, four-player Smash Bros. Just invite people who you can get along with, no matter what they look like. That's all I got to say.
Forced diversity is stupid. Let it be organic.
Fuck dead fish.
That's probably not a sanitary thing to do.
Final thought there.
Oh, hey. I got grass clippings.
Yeah, lucky you. I can still taste the fish.
All right.
Hey, Jiggles. If it's any consolation, you now know what my ex-girlfriend tastes like.
Pity and hate?
No, like my mom. Dead fish.
Oh, God.
All right, Kaz.
Final thoughts. Don't be an asshole about diversity. Diversity isn't there to fill quotas. Diversity is a natural thing. Let it be fucking natural as I'm dying after watching
diversity will kick your ass.
All right, game going.
Siding out.
Blasphemous out.
Guys are cut to the skies. Oh, gods, I need to breathe.
Bye!
Hey, come on. Heavy.